Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Freedom Train podcast series. I am Joseph Ward. I'm usually joined by my co-host, Patrick Irvin. Patrick is a little under the weather, so I want to make sure everybody send him some love and some good vibes to make sure that Patrick get back on the good foot and feeling back good. So, Pat, hope to see you back real soon, my brother. And remember that the Freedom Train podcast series is brought to you by PAX Inc., and that's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information about PAX Inc., make sure you visit their website at www.pactsinc.org. That way you can learn more about the codes of conduct, how to become a member, how to donate, how to get involved in the organization. They have a Learning Center tab. If you're on your computer, you can hover your mouse over the Learning Center tab. You see the drop-down box over your phone. Hit the drop-down button. You'll see all of the resources they have available. Also with PAX Inc., they are a part of the Amazon Smile program. So for those who don't know, Amazon has a program called Amazon Smile, where once you sign up with the Amazon Smile program, a portion of your proceeds will go to the nonprofit organization that you choose. So for example, you type Amazon Smile in your search bar, register, and it's going to ask for an organization that you want to support. You can type in PACTSINC or whatever organization that you choose. And from then on, when you sign into Amazon, just make sure you sign in through Amazon Smile. And every time you make a purchase, a portion of your proceeds will go to that organization. So make sure you make that happen. Also, make sure y'all visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. That way you can learn more about myself, Joseph Ward, Patrick Irvin, Enigma September, Shelby Davis, Queen Candace, and Cliff. Everybody that we have on the network that's putting out content. Shout out to everybody. So, enough about that. We got the housekeeping out the way because we got a good one today. I'm excited to have this gentleman on the show because he's been doing a lot of great things in the community. So, there's an organization that's called Omega Lamplighters. And over the years, I've had a chance to pay attention to the organization. I learned about the organization before I learned about the gentleman who created the organization. And I saw the young men very visible in our community. And I saw the young men in areas that I would usually do outreach and all of my community work in. And these are areas that a lot of people would stay away from. But I see these young, ambitious men in these areas. And so I got a little more curious and I learned a little more about the organization. And it was created by our guest today. And our guest today is a native of Dallas, Texas, a fellow FAMUan. And he spent this time creating an organization that serves our community well. And the young men take their cues from him because he sets a great example. I know our city is grateful for him. He's an asset to our city. And I want to make sure that we extend our platform to him because I want more people to learn about what he has going on and to be able to support the giants within our community. So with that being said, I want to welcome Mr. Royal King to the Freedom Train podcast series. How you doing, brother?
Man, I'm doing good. Joseph, thank you for the opportunity, man. And I appreciate that introduction. Happy to be here and thankful to be your partner in service as we try to do our parts to improve our community for not only our young men, but for our sisters and everybody in the struggle. So, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, man. And like I said, the pleasure's all mine. As a native Tallahassee, I always want to make sure I let people know who come from other cities, who come to my city and still give their time to help improve the conditions and the qualities and help give people opportunity. So as a native Tallahassee, knowing that when I was growing up, there wasn't as many opportunities available for the kids as they are now, and you are part of that, my hat goes off to you, and I thank you for all that you've done.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes. So let's get into it, because I want more people to learn about you and Omega Lamplighters and just things that you bring to the table. So can you give our audience some background information about yourself and why is serving your community important to you?
So a little bit about myself is I am one of the kids that I was once one of the kids who I serve and who we serve mm-hmm. through our program. I was fortunate to grow up in a two-parent home, but My parents and specifically my father saw it very important that I take, you know, an opportunity to understand, one, how blessed I was, but two, the importance of giving back. And mm-hmm. irregardless of where you are, we're all people, you know, and one situation away from being in another person's shoes. So it was those principles that he and my mom instilled in me and that I witnessed in them and my family that first introduced me to service. But it was two really instrumental programs. I kind of was a self-starter as a kid, and that I knew what I was passionate about. And at the time, it was sports.
Right.
And I wanted to be a journalist. I realized only early on I was going to, you know, be able to play, but the likelihood of playing professionally was probably not going to happen. But the mm-hmm. next best thing was to, like, report on it and report, you know, news, right, and be a journalist. So right. about 8, 9 years old, I set out on that quest. When I got to high school, I got into two programs that were essentially mentoring programs that helped shape me and really open my eyes to the importance of service and really kind of like got me excited to not only do it, but like do it on another level.
Okay.
So those two programs, one ran by my mentor, Shel Smith, was through the Dallas-Fort Worth Association of Black Communicators, which is a chapter of the National Association of Black Journalists. And in high school, they used to do a boot camp, which was right. like a, what was it, 2 months? So like an 8 to 10 week boot camp where they brought in all of the Black journalists in the community from radio to PR to newspaper to TV to entertainment, all of these Black professionals to mentor us kids who okay. thought we wanted to do this, who were in high school and college. And it was a very structured program, and they, like, we did it. Like, we produced a newspaper, a brief radio show, a little podcast, all of these things, and we would compete in the program to get those opportunities. Cool. So it taught me what the importance of hard work and competing with people and being able to compete. And it's not about competing to be in another person's situation, but competing to be great together. Right. So that program was extremely influential. And then the other was called the Omega Sparks. My father is a member of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated, to which I later became a member while at FAMU. And the journalism program was open to all, but I don't know. It was some of those experiences and a little bit God led to want to specifically work with Black men, because I remember the experience I had in both programs and in that journalism program, it wasn't a lot of Black males. And okay. it got me to thinking, like, man, what we can create if we really get our young Black boys to another level, because of what yeah. it did for me, you know, what it did for me. And then thinking about what I got from it and the things I wish that we would have done that we didn't do. So that was kind of like the passion for starting it. And then I didn't want it to just be from what my experience was. So as we finally started it, like, really talking to the kids, man, because ultimately what worked for me 10, 15 years ago, what I thought was cool and wanted to do, might not be the same thing. So once we baked this cake, we really involved our kids in asking them, well, what do you want out of this? Like, we don't want to just, okay. you know, tell you how you're going to have a resume and tell you got to do this, tell you got to do that. But what other things can we provide you to make this fun for you? And once we did that, it went to a whole nother level, so that it's not a program that I created. It's a program we created. Right. I just so happen to be conduit who started this, but it's all of our program. So that's kind of right. like some of how we got here in a little part. And it's the community that's gotten us to where we are now, with 25 chapters throughout the United States, right. 150 young men here in Tallahassee. And now we went from primarily a high school program where we would take the occasional middle schooler to now where we've got two programs where we start at fourth grade and go all the way through 12th. And what we're trying to instill now is to work with our kids all the way to the point to where they're 24, because when you leave high school, that doesn't mean life isn't going to still happen to you and you don't need mentors and also other brothers right. to stay wrapped right. around you on that journey of manhood.
Right. Man, if we could get like a version of you and take you back like 30 years or something when I was coming up, that'd be so cool. Because what you've created is brilliant, and the way that you created, because involving the kids, if you're going to be working with the kids, you might as well get their input on what they like, what influences them, what moves them, what they gravitate towards. So that was brilliant. And so, man, that's all right. So that makes sense, though, because I'm going to be honest. Growing up, I saw a lot of the different programs, but yours, the kids always talking about yours. We always see the kids and they're always excited to be a part of it. So, I see why. I definitely see why. I would have definitely been a part of it when I was coming up. So, all right. So I'm curious. All right. You're already interested in journalism. So what made you choose FAMU? Why did you, out of all the other journalism schools, why did you choose to come to FAMU and what made you stay?
Man, so what really got me here was my mentor, Cheryl Smith, who ran that journalism program. So I was in it all 4 years of high school. And, you know, like mentors have a huge impact on our life. I know that from my own experience. Mm-hmm. And I revered her so much, not only for what she did for me and the other youth that participated in that program, but for how she operated. Like, she ran this program, still had her job, still had a family, and we never saw her like sweat. Everything was always just, you know, on point. And a lot of the principles that she taught through the program, she told me she learned from her experience at FAMU. And I'll never forget it. One day she said in one of our sessions, if you want to be the best, you got to go to FAMU. And I already looked up to her. And, you know, she was my mentor and guided me on my journalism journey. So once she said that, I was like, I want to be the best. So that was it for me. Like, I had never been to Tallahassee. Only thing I didn't even know, you know, and I knew I wanted to go to an HBCU, but I didn't even know that much about FAMU other than what she told me. So then I researched it, found out the colors, and was like, oh, orange or green. You know, I was born in the SWAC area in Texas.
Yeah. Okay. But,
It was her influence because I wanted to be the best, and I looked at her as being the best, and so I wanted to go where the best came from. So once she said that, that was it for me. You know, I applied to other schools, but my parents, they knew that this is where I wanted to go, and, you know, were able to assist me on that journey. Now, what got me to stay here was that once I got in school, and in the position, I always said I wanted to give back and I wanted to start a mentoring program. And in my innocence, it was just a small thing. Like, I just wanted to help some kids and really change one kid's life. Right. Like, to the way that my life was changed, because had I not been in those programs, I would have never been introduced to FAMU. And I mean, anything could have happened. Like, you know, not saying it in a negative way, but I don't think it would have been as blessed as it is now. And the lives that have been blessed and the capacity that they have would not have happened had I not come to FAMU. So that is in itself just a huge story, and how when you change the life of one, you change the lives of thousands. Right. From my mentor to me, to the lives I've touched, who are now, you know, I've got kids who are now mentoring kids, to the lives that they'll touch. But I ended up staying because once we got the program in a really good position, I had, you know, opportunities to leave, and I just prayed about it. And I got a job in TV at the time. And I felt like this is where I was supposed to be, but mainly because I wanted to have an impact on those kids. I didn't want to start something and then abandon it before it ever really blossomed into what it was. And in doing that, it's went to a level that far exceeded where I thought it could go, and has pushed me now to elevate my vision for it. And I can't leave what we've started here, because, you know, I talk about the kids and people always say it, like, you be like, your kids. And they like my kids. And that's how I view them. And that's how I love on them. So the kids.
Right, right. Now, I don't blame you. Because people are always asking me the same thing, especially since I'm from here. It's like, well, why have you stayed in Tallahassee? And it's always, well, I always get involved with something, the community, like some kind of working with some kind of kids or working somewhere in the community. And once you get into it, you do develop a relationship with the people. It's kind of hard to just walk away from it. And especially if you find a way to thrive while you're doing that. So that's, I don't blame you.
Yeah.
All right. All right, so you gave like a overview of a little bit of how you created Omega Lamplighters, but can you get kind of like a little more detail behind like, and for a lot of our listeners who want to know how to start organizations, kind of like the legalities that took to start the organization, what went into the name of the organization and kind of the intricate details that led to the organization being what it is now?
Yeah, so we did it a little backwards. I would advise people to do it a little different in the beginning from how we did it. So technically, we've only been a formal nonprofit for 2 years. Okay. Being that we're a 501c3 organization, which allows us to receive grants as our own program to really help our kids. So those first few years, those first 3 years in 2008, were really like I call trial and error years. So basically, you know, we kind of piloted it with about 15 youth and wanted to kind of figure out from my own experiences and, you know, kind of creating a program from those and doing research. A template, if you will. And those first three years, I got to be honest, were very rocky, but they built that foundation for us to, in 2011, formally devise a program that is sustainable. So when I say that, one of my biggest gripes with the program I was in, the mentoring program, was that it was given to me, right? So it was like, hey, want to be in this, here it is, here's your t-shirt, here's your whatever, and right. It was just like here, so I didn't value it, right? Like I valued it, but I didn't value it. Like it was like
I'm saying
with because my dad told me to be in it, and then I ended up liking it. So we put in place a what we call an induction program, to where the program had principles, one that it stands on: leadership, academics, maturity, and perseverance. But then too, a program, and it's evolved into a more detailed approach, where in the beginning, it was just doing sessions, four sessions on those principles, teaching them how to be leaders, good academic training tips, workshops on like life skills and being a gentleman and how you should handle, you know, your behavior in different environments, being mature. And then the most important in all of them to me is the understanding that life is going to hit you and being able to persevere through that and letting them hear from other men who are in this community who've been successful, share some of those experiences with them. But the biggest part was like creating a program to where it wasn't just handed to them. So the kids valued it a lot more, because they had to go through something. And then over the years, we've developed it into like where it's a super training ground, or where they've got to introduce themselves a certain way. We're teaching them how to have eye contact. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Do something kind once a week. And then reporting that back to us, how to do a proper handshake. What's the kind of attires they should wear for different types of events? Our high school kids starting the program with no resume. We're giving them a template, showing them how to create it, and then leaving them out with one, where we do CPR training, domestic violence, peer youth training, self-assessment so they can figure out what their leadership style is. So, I mean, it's evolved into a machine so that we're creating what we want to see later on, but finding out what skills they have in themselves and to really shape the leader they are, because everyone's not going to be your vocal leader. Everyone's not going to be your super funny type of person, but being who they are, confident, comfortable, and then teaching them how to do that. So creating a superstructure. So one of the most important things, I would say to anybody starting a program, is go ahead and do the paperwork first. So those first few years. I mean, eventually we were able to file federally so that we could create a bank account. But in the beginning, had I known what I know now, we'd have went ahead and made us made it a nonprofit so that that structure would be in place. So any organization looking to do anything and not make money, so any, you know, any time kind of program to help somebody, go ahead and become a 501c3. And one of the biggest and most important parts of doing that is that you'll build a board of people so that they're in place to protect the organization from the individual.
Right.
So, like, yeah, I had this vision and started this program, but I needed that board because I'm just still one person. And mm-hmm. that board is of people made up of a diverse group of people who have similar interests and passions, but are in place to make sure, God forbid something happened to me, the individual, we have created a structure so that this program doesn't die. And that's the most important thing. So really having that board of people who believe, but all don't look like you and I is important because the world doesn't look like that. And this was something that we've kind of had to learn through several of these encounters we've seen in our communities and talking to mm-hmm. our boys that, you know, they're not just comfortable and they don't have relationships with men that don't look like them.
Right.
And this summer really taught us the importance of that because we've been doing all of this mentoring and saying we're going to change the world. But if we only change in their lives and not introducing them to have uncomfortable conversations or relationships with people that don't look like them, then we're only really doing ourselves a disjustice. So in that, we created that board and it's got, you know, diverse, you know, men and women from ages to races to ethnicities to career aspirations. And that's really helping us change the work we're doing with the kids. Now, they don't really do the day-to-day mentoring and some of that like the staff does. But in that, in these few months, well, 2 years, it's we've grown even more. So that structure is super important. Building a board of diverse people who have the same vision in terms of what the program is about. You're not going to always agree, but growth is uncomfortable. So we've got to be able to invite those to the table. So that would be one of the first things I would say to do. And then after that, create what it is that you're going to do. What is your focus going to be? You can't do, Rome wasn't built in a day. And when we first started, all of the things we do now, we weren't doing then. We have a club program. So now we have a step team, a Black History Club, a STEM club, a debate team. We partner with them and I have a bike team. And then we also have our step team and we're adding a new one that we'll introduce at the summertime that I want to wait to debut. But, we didn't start stepping from 2011 for two more years. Like, but that was solely based off the kids saying that they wanted to do that. So figure out first what you're trying to do, how you're trying to make an impact, and then focus on that area. And then as you're doing that, invite the people you're trying to help to the table to figure out how they will receive it. So I can't ask a kid to turn in a resume and the only connection is, I got to do this prayer. I got to turn in this resume. Well, he knows, I got to turn in this resume. But aside from that, man, I'm going to get to travel. I'm going to be in this organization that's going to help me be better. I'm going to gain some new friends who all want to be better. I'm going to get to have fun, different experiences, get to, you know, travel and do these different things. So the caveat is like, I don't want to do this resume, but also don't want to let Mr. King down. And then also, this is cool. Like, I'm building a brotherhood. I'm bonding with some guys who I wouldn't know otherwise. So it's a give and a take. So that's some of the things I would tell someone if they were starting out. Handle the paperwork on the front end, doing your tax exempt paperwork. Once you get that nonprofit status, all of that stuff's easy. And build a board and then start doing the work. And it doesn't take long to get your stuff back from the IRS, but
Right. Now, but I'm glad you broke that down like that. Because there are a lot of people who want to start nonprofit organizations or any type of organization, and the ambition may get in the way, and they just jump out and start doing things. And also, I like how you talked about the structure of it as well. So having a structure so you have a focus of your organization rather than trying to do everything or any idea that you come up, or even just because something happens socially, you're not just trying to jump and run and do these things. You already have a structure in place to, because sometimes a lot of people just need to continue doing what they're doing.
Absolutely.
So I do like that. So no, okay, so I do have a question. In the beginning, you say you were able to recruit about how many young kids in the beginning? Your
So
first group?
I said 15, but we ended up with 20. But of the 20, 15 of them were kind of like our consistent,
Right.
like really kind of like whatever you want to do,
Okay.
we'll kind of do it.
So how were you able to reach out to that group of kids, even that the whole 20, but especially the 15? How were you able to reach out to them and then get the buy-in, say, hey, this is what we have, come join us, and have them come be the first 15 of Omega Lamplighters?
So, some of it was recruiting, like through teachers we had at some of the schools, like introduced the idea, said, hey, so this is what we're trying to do. And this is what we want the program to look like. And do you have any youth that could benefit or kind of represent where we're trying to go? And so we were able to kind of just reach out to some people, mainly through the school system. And then I leaned on some of my fraternity brothers, like, hey, so, do you, what kids do we know? Because I didn't know no kids. I'm not from here. I was in college, and kind of let them know the kids we were kind of trying, well, the kids that we wanted to help, and then some kids that represent where we're trying to go. And so
Right.
through that, we're able to create some kids who look like what we wanted the kids to look like in terms of had some kind of plan, were respected, and then also kids who, man, her auntie knows this teacher, he needs this program, put him in there.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make sure he go to everything, whether he want to do it or not. And then some kids who were just looking for something. And a lot of times, Black boys are looking for something and they don't even know what it is. They're just looking for
Right.
something.
Right.
And so that was kind of some of the magic, just reaching out to the people in my circle, and everybody knows somebody, and we just kind of built it from there and started with that small, because 20 is a large number, but it's still small. And
Yeah.
before you knew it, we started to really grow, like with our induction process, and doing it once a year, because it just the demand grew and grew, and we had to have, again, like that structure, so that people knew it wasn't an organization where you could just drop in. No, like during the year we're working with our kids, like we're
Right.
committed to these kids, and we have a specific time of the year where we focus only on our new kids. And then people, once you that structure, people respect it. So that's why
Yeah.
it's important to go ahead and do it on the front end and don't budge on that, because you don't want to have any inconsistencies in what you've built. Well, you did that for this person. Nah, we no, I don't care who you are. We focused on these kids we got.
Yeah.
And this is our
Yeah.
open enrollment period. And so now, like March is when that period starts. They've been beating the door down. Hey, I got this kid, I got that kid. But in the beginning, it's important to set that in stone. And sometimes, over the years, some of that structure may change a little bit to fit the needs of the program, but it's fine. But you got to lay a solid foundation
Right.
out the door.
Right. Yeah, you definitely do. Definitely do. Okay, so you're already a member of Omega Psi Phi. The name Omega Lamplighters. I love the name, but I am curious about the origins. Now, when I think about it, I think about you giving the kids the light, but you also giving them the lamplight to give to others moving forward. So that's what I think about when I hear the name. But what went into you giving it this particular name?
Right. So it was really two parts. So I wanted to create something that was associated and affiliated with our fraternity, Omega Psi Phi, because when I got here, there was no Omega mentoring. And
Right.
I, because of what it did for me, And in my life, I wanted to affiliate it with the fraternity in some kind of capacity. So I wanted to connect it, and I didn't want to call it the Sparks because the way it was structured wasn't where I was trying to go. Like, mm-hmm. it was just kind of like, you know, I got a lot out of the program, but it was kind of the, you know, here's your shirt, come to these events and go. It wasn't the, hey, you missed something, you need to be there. Hey, this is, you know, you're going to earn this kind of mm-hmm. program. So I wanted it to be more representative of where we were trying to go with our boys. So I did want to kind of have some kind of connection to both with the Omega. So that's kind of right. why that stayed there. And then the Lamplighters came, and you kind of said it best, because they're the light of the world. And if they light their light, their light will light the lights of the world. And then we're also serving as a light to their path. And then the Bible mm-hmm. verse, you know, where it makes reference to, you know, the lamp, the feed and the light at your path. Mm-hmm. So those were kind of like those stronger origins for where the name came from, because they're the light of the world. Our children are. And as we light their lights, they'll light other lights and then will illuminate right. the world.
Now that's, like I say, it's cool because thought went into it. And yeah. usually when people put thought into things, it's because they believe in the potential of its growth and the magnitude of it really impacting people. So definitely enjoy that. So reading more about you, the word opportunity gaps, I saw that. And you're using your organization to help to stop these opportunity gaps, to shorten these opportunity gaps. So can you, for those who may not really understand, can you explain it on what an opportunity gap is and just different ways you use your organization to bridge those gaps?
Yeah. So in short, it's, if I could explain it, the best way I'd probably say in simplest terms is that access to equal education opportunities as other people. So a good example is that in our communities, a lot of times when we grow up, we don't have access to equal resources, right? Mm-hmm. We don't have in our school systems a lot of time. No one is teaching us. How do you learn to, you know, find how do you educate yourself to go get a job, or how do you learn to create a business? Those aren't conversations that are being had in our communities on a regular basis, unless someone in your immediate family is doing something like that and then doing it for you. As a community, those opportunities to learn and you know, be invested in early aren't happening. So mm-hmm. one of the big things that we try to do is educating our kids and helping them understand early what they want to do. And that's not saying they have to go to college. They can't play in the NBA or NFL if that's what they aspire to do, but exposing them to things so that they understand what's available to them. So, right. hey, look, so you have these types of skills. Here are some opportunities that you might want to kind of consider. And then introducing them to people that are doing those things. First, you know, helping them to understand the importance of having a plan beyond high school, because life mm-hmm. doesn't stop there. Whether you go learn a trade, go to a college or a university, join the army, you've got to have a plan for your life. And trying to close that gap on those access to opportunities and resources is a huge part of what we do. And we do that through, you know, our induction process and then like our monthly meeting with our kids. So we assess them early to figure out what they want to do. And a lot of times they know and they don't know, but introducing them to different things to help them figure that out and providing them those resources to educate them. So some of our kids, they don't even realize the access they have to things until after they've left the program. Because a lot of it is us pushing them. You know how kids are, pushing them. Yeah. Like, okay, so hey, look, you said you wanted to be a lawyer. Here are three lawyers in town who, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to go meet with, talk with, spend some time with this summer. But don't just stop there. Continue to build on that opportunity, because that could learn, later turn into employment or anything that you want to develop from there. So really just dealing with some of the educational issues and opportunity issues that aren't available or easily accessible in our communities, not because they aren't out there, it's just we don't have, they're not always right in front of us in our neighborhoods.
Right, right. What's revealing now that I think about it is the importance of people like you, programs like yours, because I'm thinking about myself growing up in Tallahassee, and we didn't realize the lack of resources that we had when it comes to education. Like, we had no idea that schools on the other side of town literally had more access to more resources, access, like they're spending more money on these mm-hmm. on these kids. Like I looked at I was reading one article, and it was like doing a breakdown of how different school zones are funded. Yeah. And it depends on the neighborhood and all those things. And so you can be, if you're in an upscale neighborhood, they could be spending $100 on the child. If you're in a low income neighborhood, they could be spending $2 on the child. And you don't know that. And without advocates, it's kind of hard to really understand what's going on. So, wow. All right. That's crazy. But that's why, once again, I'm grateful for people like you to be able to understand what's going on and structure things to be able to counter that. All right. So, all right. You want to make sure the kids graduate high school and also think beyond high school, because we all know life doesn't end at high school, and you can do great things if you put your mind to it. So you've been able to create a partnership with Tallahassee Community College. And it helps the young men who are part of Omega Lamplighters to have a path to college. So could you like help us understand what that program is and how you were able to get your program linked with that particular program?
Yeah, so it does two major, really important things for us. So we don't have a building yet, right? Mm-hmm. So partnering with TCC provides us with a stable home. When COVID hit, I mean, it really changed everybody. Well, not really. It changed everybody's world. And we understood the importance during and after of needing to have a space. Mm-hmm. And so the partnership we have with TCC is through their Take Stock in Children program, which is a basic educational scholarship program for youth. And if they participate in it, they get free 2-year scholarships to TCC. Okay. And it can be used to, I guess, any state school, but the amount of money is reduced if they used it at a 4-year school. It wouldn't equal, obviously, 4 years, right, and probably not a 2 full-year scholarship at a mm-hmm. A major institution, because the fees are different. But it right. guarantees them, if they participate in the program, a 2-year scholarship to TCC, which is a huge game changer.
It is
for youth. So we're partnering with TCC through that program. And one of our major requirements is to recruit. So we've got hundreds of kids who are in, not hundreds, but hundreds of kids in the program. And a lot of them are in high school. So that is the target group. So we want to set our kids up for success. So by partnering with this program, whether they know what they want to do or not, just by participating in our program and the parts of their program, mm-hmm. you come out with a two-year scholarship to TCC. And that's life-changing, you know, come out yeah. with an AA, and it's a huge deal. So that's a big part of it, and helping them to advocate and get into the communities and let people know about this opportunity and what that program is doing and what TCC is doing, which, you know, TCC is a amazing community college and a precious gem we have in our community. Mm-hmm. So that's one part of what it does. And then again, like having a home. So a part of it, we've got a classroom over there, a computer lab that we're able to access to conduct our workshops, any kind of trainings we need to do, okay. whatever we need to do, we can use that classroom for. When that's huge, especially coming out of COVID. a lot of our stuff is hybrid now, so we do limited in person and then everyone else virtually, but that space really allows us to manage and do that in a good and proper way. It also provides us with a space for our youth to practice step. So we still practice outside because our kids are funny and they have a strong appreciation for and they value the grind a little bit. They like to get it out the mud a little bit. So they like to be in the elements a lot of times, but it's really cold here. So it's like, all right, well, now we gotta get y'all inside.
Exactly.
It allows us to practice there. So it's a huge partnership wherein that it gives us a home, a place to call home to do what we need to do with our kids and scholarship opportunities through the Take Stock program. What it also does for us is it gives us a direct outlet for our kids who maybe joined our program a little too late to join the Take Stock program where we can get them involved in other programs at the school. So by being partnered, we get the information and are able to, like right now this summer, TCC does a summer bridge program where kids can get 9 credit hours at no cost. And it's like a pre-entry into college, like summer. You're in school, but it's a program as a part of it. So as you go to these 9 classes that they pay for, these 9 credit hour courses, which is like about 3 classes that they're paying for, they're doing some education on helping you adjust to college life, and you're in that like program with other kids. So last year we had four of our graduates participate in that program, and this year we're looking at 2 or 3 potentially being a part of it. But it's huge because it's not only helping us on our day-to-day program, it's helping us prepare our kids who are transitioning out of high school into college with a plan, and then a plan to do something at a very low or no cost. So it's huge. And the way we were able to kind of do that was we just reached out and leveraged what we did in the community. Like, so we just kind of told them, hey, we need to be partnered, and these are some things that we feel like you can offer us, and this is what we know we can offer you. We can help you be a voice in this community, not just for kids in our program, but in this entire city, and letting them know about this program, because the Take Stock program isn't for lamplighters. It's anybody, who meets the criteria program to participate. And we're in the community with those kids that need it the most, beyond our kids. So let us help you as you help us. Reaching out to the administration and introducing to them who we were and the value we bring and how that value would be added value, not only to their school, but to our kids. And that's kind of how we did it.
Nah, that's cool. So now that's brilliant. It's excellent. It's any word I could think to describe it, because like you say, you're giving kids an opportunity to further their education and reminding people that nobody can take your education away from you. And a lot of these kids, having that 2-year scholarship paid for is a big boost, because they may come from families where they can't pay for college. And so
alone, which is worse.
Right. Because what we don't like, we talk about our kids going to college, but we don't talk about, you know, stacking up those loans. And when you graduate, you're in debt, because that could hamper wealth building in the future. But the fact that you got a program set up to where all you got to do is participate.
Yeah.
Just participate, become a part of it, and you get 2 years of school paid for, whether you see yourself going to TCC or not. 2 years of school paid for, because even if you don't see yourself going to TCC, even if it's not in your overall plan when you were planning school, it's paid for. Go get your free education. Make good grades, because if you're making good grades and you're making already have connections, you could possibly get more scholarships to go the way you really want to go.
Yep.
So now that's amazing. So I want to just reiterate, so to make sure that people understand, could you reiterate the requirements needed to become a part of Omega Lamplighters?
So that's a great question. So our program is for youth grades 4th through 12th. So March 8th will start our I guess recruitment period. So mm-hmm. kids can apply from March 8th through April 31st. We are recruiting for so rising 4th to rising 12th. So if you're in the third grade now, you're eligible. And up to 11th grade now, you're eligible because then, you know, if you're 12th grade now, you're graduating this May. It's nothing we can really do for you. So
right.
Rising 4th to 12th. And the requirements aren't really that extensive at all. It's really just designed because, again, we've grown to a point to where we can't accept everybody. While that is the goal and where we're trying to go, we still are very small and have limited resources. And then also, too, you want to have some kind of process to evaluate if somebody is at least a little bit serious about their growth. Mm-hmm. So it goes back to that. If I just give you the shirt mantra, you don't value it the same. So when you have to apply for something, interview for something, go through a summer of doing workshops and training for something. Yeah. Once you get in it, you're going to value it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to have a love and appreciation and a pride in it. So to that point, the youth do a one-page essay about why they want to be in the program. They just turn in their most recent report card or transcript on that application. It asks basic questions so that we can get a demographic of the kids that we're serving, what kind of household they're living in, what area code they're living in, so that we can, you know, track our data. And that was something that I didn't mention in the beginning either, but that data piece in the structure of your organization is critical because mm-hmm. you can do great work all day, but if you don't have the data to show what you've done, then it's not valuable. Right. So you want to be able to build that structure early and collecting that data of what kind of types of kids you're serving. So it's not invasive to ask if it's what the income for the parents are, how many mm-hmm. parents are in the house, how many other kids are in the house, because you need to be able to tell people when you're asking them for money or when you start applying for grants, this is who we're serving. Right. So that no one's going to give you $300,000. You say, yeah, I've been doing this mentoring program. We got all these kids. Well, what are your results? They want to know. That's how they're going to evaluate if you're serious or you just kind of just doing something. So I did want to mention that in that point as I was articulating everything. So we have them take a headshot picture because we want to know who they are when we interview them. So they submit a picture. And what else am I missing? And they have to turn in a letter of recommendation. And all of that that's not a lot of stuff.
It's not.
But it'll eliminate. You know, we understand that we can't help every single kid, right? But the kids that want help, we want to be able to help them, but we want to see first a little effort. And if you can complete that application, either your parent is serious about it or that kid is serious about it. And we just need one of them to be serious about it for us to take them where we know they can go.
Right.
So those are the main things. And then we do an interview with them. And we kind of go from there. So there are some fees associated with the program, but those fees, so for the elementary and middle school kids, is $200. And it's, $150 for those and $200 for the high school kids. But that money is not program. It just pays for all of the stuff that they get that over mm-hmm. the years they've told us that they wanted, if that makes sense. So, I mean, one thing about it is they're going to be drippy. So they got lamplighter tie, pins, socks, a blazer, t-shirts, sweatsuit, and it pays for all of those things. And Lord willing, we've never not had a kid participate because of money, because if that's the issue, we always offer scholarships. So we've got some committed donors who every year, last year, our whole induction class was sponsored, our high school bunch. We ended up with COVID-19, odd enough. And Patrick Barano and Barano Heating and Air gave us a donation of $3,000 to sponsor those 19 youth so that they didn't have any fees. And so I say that to say we'll find the money. If I got to go crawl and do whatever to get the money for a kid to have those things. We find it. But I'm gonna be on you to be great. But I'll be on you to be great, whether you pay the money or I went and found it for you. So
right.
And then they just have to commit to going through our summer induction process, where we do those workshops like we talked about earlier. So, you know, we're at a spot now to where it's hard because we're still small, right? And 100 kids is a lot of kids. Over 100 kids is a lot of youth between the two programs. And so I would take every kid that applies, but because we're small, we still have to manage our growth, because if we end up with too many kids, then we start doing them a disservice and can't provide the services to them at the level that we are doing now and that we need to continue to be successful. So I say that to say anybody who's in the community that wants to help our young boys, we'll take you. We're really going to, as we recruit for new youth here coming up, we're going to be recruiting for people in the community, and we can help in any, like, several capacities. You can be a mentor. You can not even interact with the kids. You can just help do fundraising. You can, like, we've got so many different needs to where if you got a skill set and you want to help, we can use you. And we'd love to have you. And you could never even meet a kid, but you are passionate about, hey, I want to help kids in this community, and I am a talented graphic artist. So look, I'm not, kids aren't my thing, but I can be your graphic person or whatever it is. We need you, because we're still growing and we want to better service more kids. So I say that to say, as we recruit for these new youth, we want to accept more youth, but in order to do that, we need more men and women from our community to join us in this struggle.
Nah, definitely. So I will say this. I got a whole bunch of Black history information.
Okay.
You got access to all my information. I definitely want to be able to help in that area. Let's talk more about that, because I want to be able to have your access to information I got, and access that I have with other people, because I've been able to link up with historians. And so definitely have y'all get access to that information. So
that'll be perfect. So like right now, it's ended now. We had a oratorical competition today with our youth. And they were, normally at that event, they would do Black history display boards. And we try to find topics that aren't always so popular that everybody knows about. I mean, we got to intermix some of those for some people, but we're always looking for deeper things. So I think that would be a huge way for us to connect, to really expose our boys to even more and educate in our community too. So I love that. Thank you.
Yeah, I got you. let's just make sure we talk again about that.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. So I'm interested in some of the success stories, because you've been doing this since 2008. It's 2021. So I know you have some young men who probably graduated college now. So what are some of the success stories that you can think about that just warmed your heart, made you smile, like, okay, I know this was a great decision?
Man, so I've got two brothers, and I refer to them like they're my sons. And one of them's name is Sean Holloway, and his younger brother, his name is Quan Porter. So when we were early on building this thing, so in 2011, that's when we started doing the formal induction process. After we kind of figured out what works, what doesn't work, how can we really make this thing flow? So we inducted Sean and his brother in 2013. And at that time, again, it's always in the beginning with structure for high school, but we would take the occasional middle schooler. So Sean was in the ninth grade and his brother Quan Porter was in the sixth grade. And they were two kids who were all in this program. They were in a single parent home with their mom, but they early on weren't, you know, one of their mom's sorority sisters basically said, hey, they had just moved here. This is a program. They're about to start a new year. They need to be in this. You just drop them off. And they blossomed. So Sean, they both went to Rickards, and Sean Well, I'll start with Quan, his younger brother. Quan graduated Rikers a year early and joined the Army. Mm-hmm. He, so proud of him because he's always been a quieter, shy kid. And mm-hmm. Not only did he graduate early, lost over 80 pounds so that he can join and serve our country. Yeah. So he's currently over in Korea. Really just watched that kid like super grow in this program. And I mean, just won so many awards, and really him and his brother like were huge parts of like how we built this, because mm-hmm. they were like overly committed. Like they were the kids who was like, man, we got to go talk about the program here. We got this community event, and they were going to be there. They were mm-hmm. at the hip. And so that's kind of where Quan is now. And Sean is a senior at Florida A&M University studying education. Okay. And I mean, was our first ever regional president for the program. Quan also was a regional president, chapter president. I mean, they were accoladed up in terms of the program. But what I'm most proudest of with Sean is not that he became my fraternity brother this past fall at Florida A&M through my mm-hmm. home chapter of Salon Psi, but that he started. So last summer, him and one of his class brothers from when he got inducted, Devon Childs, came back and joined our induction coordination team. So mm-hmm. they assisted us last summer, and they will this summer in a larger role with the process of taking our young men from, I guess, like an individual mindset to like a brotherhood mindset, and to building them to be the king, think like kings, right? So, and equipping them with the tools to go be kings in our community. Not to see the growth and transition he made recently. He had an opportunity to help with the Griffin Middle School Gentlemen's Club with creating like a little state. They wanted to do something different with the kids in the program for introducing them. So they did a Black History program where they wanted them to do some step. And Sean and Devon took that over and were mentoring. It was six kids in the program, mentoring them for the last month and a half, 2 months, created this little step team. They did a program this past Friday where they performed.
Yeah.
And I went and watched it and just watched how those kids were so excited, how they embraced them. It was just incredible because for me, it was full circle, right? Like I'm mm-hmm. still like a mentor in their lives, you know, and providing them guidance, but to see them going and doing the work with the kids in the Lamplighter program, but then other kids in the community was huge because none of that was stuff that they were asked to do. I didn't say, hey, can you go do this? They found the opportunity and took it and did it. So for me, it was like, okay, that's we're headed in the right direction. We're cooking with grease. So Sean and Quan are great examples, and their brothers. Another example, man, I could talk about a lot of these kids all day, and I don't want to not mention some. But who do I want to talk about? Well, I can talk about one that's in the program, and I don't know if he'll want me to say his name. But one of our kids who's a senior this year, when he joined, he's been in the program for 5 years. He joined when he's in the eighth grade, and he's a senior this year. We met him at a very difficult point in his life where he could have went left or right. He was looking at joining the gang and was receiving some influence about doing that from some family members. Mm-hmm. And at that time, he was introduced to this program, and we had to really spend some time with him to like kind of get him to understand in your heart, you want, this is the path you want to go on because you came to us. So let us help you go on that journey and you'll be okay. And man, I got to tell you, that kid, I mean, he's an amazing kid. He's going to head to Florida A&M this fall. I mean, he's winning scholarship after scholarship. He is an athlete, is a tremendous leader in our program, gives back to the community, awesome big brother. I mean, and he's about to go out and change this world. And he wants to not start a mentoring program, but he wants to give back and mentor. And he's still in high school.
That's good.
So, yeah.
No, that's amazing. I did the Black History program. I saw pictures that Brandon Williams, he put up on Instagram. So I was able to see some of those. And the young man who, I can't remember his name, the young man who, with the Black History Month Festival, he won the essay contest 2 years in a row.
Yeah, Caleb Johnson.
Yes, yeah. Hey, that young man, bad. He got a future.
Yeah.
And whatever he chooses to do, because the way he speaks and the way he, like, when he delivering them poems and stuff, that young man, he gonna be bad.
Yeah, and it's funny because I think he's starting to know it too, but not in a bad way.
Right.
But I think he's embracing the I guess I want to say himself, like, that God has blessed him with some special skills, and if used right, he can have a huge impact on this world.
Yeah,
he's still young. He's just in middle school, so yeah.
Right. Yeah, he definitely got a bright future. So, but like I say, you all do a great job overall of being a positive impact in these young men's lives, being a positive impact in the city, and just helping people change their lives. Like you're saying, you had a young man at a crossroad who could have joined the game, but you all were able to show him something different, because we all understand, like, the ways that the streets can entice you with the money and all those things, and especially if you come from a situation where, you know, bills need to be paid, that could be very enticing. But the fact that you all were able to get him to realize that, no, bet on yourself. Yeah. Don't bet on this game. Bet on yourself, because when you bet on yourself, you always win.
Always.
Yeah. Now, that was great, man. That's awesome. So, what advice would you give to young people, high school students, middle school students, college students, who they have an idea of what they want to do? They have a dream, they have a goal, but they don't necessarily know where to start. Like, they want to achieve something like you've achieved. They may come from environments that we've come from, but they just really don't have an idea where to start. What advice would you give to those young men or those young people to help them get started toward the goal that they want to achieve?
Man, so the first thing I would tell them is that you've only got to be supremely confident for 5 seconds to change the rest of your life, right? So you got to be fearless for only a small amount of time. So with that, we've got available in front of us through this computer so many opportunities. So Google is endless and limitless in the capabilities and opportunities it provides, to where if you've got a goal or a dream, you can research it and then research people in this community and just be fearless about asking, you know, introducing yourself in an email or a phone call for help. So utilizing the internet and just searching out people and opportunities or whatever it is you think you want to do. Also, starting within the circle you have. So whoever you know, somebody you know knows somebody that is doing what you want to do or can connect you to somebody to do whatever it is you want to do if you want to start this. So research it and find a mentor. All of that said, find somebody to help guide your path. We all have somebody. If you're a young person, you got a teacher, you got a mom, an uncle, an aunt, a cousin, a sister. You've got somebody in your immediate circle who should be able to connect you. And if you ask that person and they don't give you some positive feedback, they try to belittle it, just go to the next person until you find somebody to connect you. So I would say just be supremely fearless for a few seconds and accept no, never accept no, and align yourself with somebody that's doing what you're doing. I promise you, if you get several no's, you only need just one yes. Yep. So utilize that internet, because a lot of this stuff is all out there. You can you can Google mentoring program structure and you can find a how-to how to do that. You can Google civil engineering degree programs and it'll create like a course load to show you schools that offer it, the courses you need to take. And I mean, it's so many resources on the internet. So find a mentor, research whatever it is, and never accept no would be the advice.
Hey, couldn't have said it. Nobody. That's the best way to say it. Drop the mic on that one. Because seriously, I mean, I enjoy the way you broke down the information, the way you explained it to people. And I could tell, like, you spend a lot of time making sure that you don't just talk at people, that you talk to people the way you explain things. So definitely understand that, because when people watch this, they're going to be able to learn some things and be like, oh, well, maybe I could tweak this or tweak this the way I do things. So, all right. So with that being said, somebody watch this and they like, look, that's a sharp young man. I want to work with that young man. I want to have him come speak to my youth. I want to have him on my platform. What's the best way for people to contact you, whether it's social media, website, email?
Yeah, so my email is the probably the easiest way. Royal King, RoyleKing at OmegaLamplighters.org is my email. I'm on Facebook, Royal King, Instagram, and Twitter, The Royal King. I'm always out in the community, and if I can help anybody in any way, I'm always willing to try. And if I can't, I'll find somebody who can.
Yeah. Man, I appreciate you for stopping by the Freedom Train and letting us learn more about yourself, about your journey, and how you're able to use Omega Lamplighters to make a great impact on Tallahassee. You say you have 25 chapters total?
Yeah, 25 throughout the United States, yeah.
Yeah, so you're making a great impact on this country, on our community, and not just our immediate community, but our total community as a whole. And thank you, man. Like, really thank you for what you're doing. You are definitely a gem in our community, and we want to make sure we give you your flowers, because you deserve the flowers while you're still on this side. So thank you for what you're doing. Let's make sure we stay in contact so we can connect. Make sure you get the information from me and just connect on some other things. And you know, this is our Black media, man. So anytime you need to use the platform to get some information out, definitely holler at me. I had a great time talking to you and learning some new things, and definitely look forward to working with you in the future.
Likewise, man. Just appreciate the opportunity and what you're doing.
Thank you, man. And like I said, always the pleasure is mine. So with that being said, to all our listeners and all our viewers, we love y'all. We appreciate y'all. I hope y'all learned a lot from this interview. And we'll see y'all next time on the other side. Peace out.